Our scripture this morning is John 15. Oh. 12 through 17 on page 1537 in your pew Bible. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Ouch. I've been trying hard to keep that in. I think the Tylenol is wearing off. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Glad you're here this morning.
Glad you're here too.
Boy, me too. We were wondering on Thursday, but we made it here. I had hernia surgery, those of you guys that don't know, on Tuesday. And, man, they do some good work in there. It's all in and out. It's like going to Oil Can Henry's. You go in there for a hernia thing, and they say, hey, while we're in there, you want us to fix you up on anything else? And no, they hooked me up. They took care of me really well. And Nurse Linda has been at home caring for me and for my mother. My mom's been there for a while with her back surgery, and of course all the love and support, and folks have been dropping off meals and I mean, you guys are just awesome. So thank you. I'm glad we're here this morning too. And if you hear me really get into a point here, it might just be some kind of achy pain thing. Don't think it's biblical, okay? Well, anyway, great service this morning in Pine Grove, by the way. That's a good group of folks, and we got new people showing up, and all of them are hungry for the word. It's just great to see. And then one thing I stress to them, like I try to stress with us every week, is that, you know, we're imperfect here. I try to say that every week. That's how we start, right? We are imperfect. We're sinners, but we are forgiven. And what is so great about this church here is that even though we're different, we're still united in Christ. And we might be those rough around the edges kind of people, but that just shows how we are genuine here, and we're true to ourselves. We don't come here to try to impress anybody. And there's no way we're impressing God. Amen. He knows our hearts. So we want to come here and be real. And that's how we always start out. I try to throw a joke out there too, to try to get everybody pulled in. And they're all great jokes all the time. You know, why didn't the jalapeno go to the archery range? He didn't have an arrow. Yeah. Somebody. Man, I thought that was better than that. My dentist won Dentist of the Year, but he didn't get a trophy. Just some plaque. So.
Or crown.
No kings. Sorry. We can't talk about that here. No, that's how we usually start. Imperfect, genuine folks, a couple bad jokes, obviously. But again, I do want to say thank you for being that loving and caring family and being true friends. We're going to talk about friendship a little bit today. And most of us in our lives, we have several acquaintances and several love you, bro kind of friends. But real, genuine friends are hard to come by. And Linda and I have been truly blessed with this church family to have so many great, great friends here. You guys are terrific as a church family like that. WCC is not a place you attend, but it's a place where you belong as a family member, and I pray you all feel that as you go through the services here every Sunday. I did run across a guy the other day, a farmer, by the way, a Dorito farmer. You know Doritos? I had to tell him, man, you got a cool ranch. So we got to end on one good bad one. Let's get started. Father, sorry about the jokes. Father, thank you so much again for this chance to crack into your word and do what we came here for. And that is, Lord, to open up your word and to reveal your truths, your eternal biblical truths. And Lord, I just pray that you open our eyes to this today, that you make us all empty vessels and you pour your word into us so that, Lord, we can take these to heart. Father, your words are no good if we don't put them into action. And so I pray that as you reveal your gospel truth to us, you also empower us with your spirit to live out that truth, to walk it in our daily lives. We ask for this through this message today. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, last couple of weeks we've been getting into John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to take another step into this chapter today as we get into Christ's instructions on how we are to live as Christians. And if you look in your notes in the back of the bulletin there, on the back of your announcements, you'll see that there's a few things that are spelled out for you right up front. And that is that this chapter, it gives us a whole bunch of stuff. But what it really talks about as we dig through this, it really talks about relationships. Things that we take away that we can put into use in relationships. And first and foremost is that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Today we're going to talk about our relationships that we have as friends with our fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then eventually we're going to talk about our relationship that comes with the world. All about relationships. And if I was to ask you, what is at the center of all relationships, all good relationships, hopefully all of you would have the same answer. It's love, especially when you turn on the clicker. It's love. Love is at the center of all relationships. Relationships thrive on love. Not the superficial stuff, but the real agape level type of love. The love that is selfless, the love that is sacrificial, the love that doesn't expect anything in return. Real, genuine love. And that is so important in the life of a believer. And it is so even more so important. It's who he is, his character, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, John 15, we get into this some, and we previously talked about that. If we look at our Bibles now, we're going to get into this love thing. This chapter 15, that occurs on the last night that Jesus Christ is alive during his first earthly ministry. It's Thursday night. And just around the corner comes what's looming, the cross. And during this chapter 15, this is when Jesus and the disciples, they're walking, they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and looming just ahead, Jesus knows what's coming. It's going to be his arrest. It's going to be his unfair trial. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be tortured, spat upon, shamed. And then he's going to be hung on that cross and die. And that will all happen the next day by Friday. And with all of that looming, and with all of that weighing down on Jesus, he knows it's coming. Even though all of that is hanging over his head, he still emphasizes love. Above all else, he talks about love. And this is really important to John. John writes about it. He is the disciple of love. His gospel is the gospel of love. And it's really emphasized on this last night that Jesus Christ is alive. John, he devotes a big portion of his gospel just to that last night and to love. And if you were to go back to chapter 13, it's still that night. Chapter 13, Christ is reclining at the table still. It's at the Last Supper. He's with the disciples. And he starts telling them, this is verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. Love others the same way that I am loving you. Then he goes on in chapter 14. He's still teaching at the table. And he tells them in verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. He goes on in verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Love, love, love. He talks about love. He gets into it. We talked about this last week, even on the way over to the garden, chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And folks, we get so much out of this one little chapter, out of the Gospel of John. We know we are saved if we're producing fruit. We know that if we remain in Christ's love, we will find this eternal joy. We know that by being obedient to Christ's commands, we bring glory to God. We get all of that stuff out of this chapter. But at the root of all of it, the foundation of all of it, is love. And last week we shared what that relationship of love looks like with Jesus Christ. This week we're going to learn about the love in our relationships with each other. And that comes from being a friend of God, from being a friend of Jesus Christ. Friendship, real friendship. And I pray for you guys that you know what real friendship is all about, that you've experienced that in your life. It's marked by that agape type of love, that love that is selfless and sacrificial, and it's truly vulnerable, the love that never expects anything else in return. And as I was reading about this week, I came across this example that really touched my heart, talking about real love kind of friendship. And it comes from the trench warfare of World War I. You picture that was battling over in Europe. And during this World War I, there's this English soldier, and as they try to advance on the enemy, he watched in horror as his lifelong friend gets mowed down by this enemy machine gun fire. And the fire's really heavy, and it drives them back, and they all retreat back to the trench. But this soldier, this friend, as soon as he gets back, he goes right to his lieutenant, and he asks for permission to go out into that no man's land to expose himself to that enemy fire again to recover his friend. And the lieutenant gave him permission. But then he added, he said, it's hardly worth it. He said, your friend is probably dead, and you're probably going to get killed too. And the soldier, he didn't care about the warnings. All he cared about was his friend. And so he comes scrambling out of the ditch, and he's dodging fire, going from cover to cover. And miraculously, he reaches his friend, and he gets him up on his shoulder. And he's carrying him back again under fire, and he himself gets wounded in the process. He stumbles back to the trench, and you can just picture the lieutenant, the other soldiers that are trying to get him down in that undercover, out of the line of fire. The lieutenant helps him down, and that's when that lieutenant noticed the soldier's friend was dead. And so he tells him, he says, I'm sorry about your friend, but I told you it wasn't worth it. He said, your friend is dead. And now you are seriously wounded. And that's when the soldier answered him and said, I've got to disagree with you. It was worth it. And he repeated it. He says, it was worth it. When I got to my friend, he was still alive. And he told me, Jim, I knew you would never leave me. It was worth it. That's what real friendship looks like. True, loving friendship. So John 15 now. Let's get into this true, loving friendship with Jesus Christ and just what that means with our relationship with other believers. Everybody got your Bibles opened up there? Give me a yeehaw if you're opened up there. Jesus brackets this section with the same kind of motif, love here. He starts out with it. He ends with love here. Look at verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other the same way that I love you. And then he finishes the section, verse 17. This is my command, love each other. Pretty straightforward, right? Love each other. Love each other the same way I've loved you. This is kind of one of those big duh things. No secret hidden mystery meaning behind the scripture here. This is all about love. But that love that we are to exemplify with each other, that's the same love that is shared as being a friend with Jesus. The love that he shares with us. Be a friend of Jesus, Here's the interesting part. This is how this happens. Look at how we become. Look at how we remain a friend of Jesus. Verse 14 here. You are my friends. What's that next word? If. It's conditional. You are my friends if you do what I command. If you do what I command, then you can be my friends. How's that for a prerequisite? Anybody ever have a friend like that? Ever have somebody come up to you and say, hey, guess what? We can be best buds as long as you do everything I tell you to do. Do exactly what I command you to do. Then you are my friend. How would that work out? Yeah, it gets better. Look at verse 16 here. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You didn't choose me. Everybody remember high school? I know for some of you, Mike, it was a while ago. Remember high school? Best 9 years of my life. Imagine being in high school. You remember that time. And having one of the popular kids come walking up to you. And one of the popular kids says, hey, I have chosen you to be my friend. Now you must do everything that I tell you to do. You must obey every command I give you. Otherwise, you will no longer be my friend. How's that going to go over? It sounds odd when we put it in our worldly human terms. And sadly, I know some of you have probably had friends like this. I know I have. I can think of someone who is no longer part of this church, someone who demanded that she be served and attended. Otherwise, you are no longer my friends. Brothers and sisters, don't conflate your human experiences with friendship. Those experiences that are selfish in their motives, don't conflate those with Christ's agape friendship that is selfless. His friendship that has your best interests, your eternal interests at heart. That is Christ's intent. This is why he does that. That's his intent when he tells his disciples, when he tells us, John 14:21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And again in verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. 15:9, we talked about this last week. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. This is all about being obedient to Jesus Christ. And what this really means, it's about us being willfully, joyfully denying ourselves and submitting to the will of the Lord. And here's another way to say that. It's all about becoming a slave of Christ. Does that hurt a little bit to say it that way? You must become a slave of Christ. Folks, that's a tough word. And it's tough because of our human history with slavery. It's tough because of the connotations that come with slavery. It's tough because of our good old red-blooded American, freedom-loving American way of life. Give me liberty or give me death. I ain't nobody's slave, right? That's counter to us and how we've been raised in this culture. But folks, the real truth here, something that we need to understand up front, when we talk about becoming slaves of Christ, the real truth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the master of all things. He is God, period. We confess that when we respond to God's call. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is Lord. He is master. And when we make him the Lord of our lives, we become his servants and we become his slaves. But folks, that's in a good way. That's in a great way. This is the kind of servitude that sets us free. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. That's pretty cool. Somebody say amen to that. Slavery to Christ means freedom from sin. And if you don't belong to Christ, you're a slave to it. Freedom from sin, sin that leads to eternal death. Paul writes about it, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to the law, thinking that you can do things to earn your way into salvation. Slaves of Christ, servants of Christ, slavery that sets us free. And folks, once we're free like that, it sets us up for some real friendship with Him. And it's a friendship that none of us merits and none of us deserves. And it all begins with that obedience to Him, servitude. And then out of His love for us, this is the amazing part, out of His love for us, Jesus elevates us then. He picks us up to that agape level type of friendship. Look at verse 14 here again. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Friends don't keep secrets. Everything the Father revealed to the Son has been revealed to us. Got one of these? There's no secrets there. God's will has been revealed to us through His Word, through His Son. And now He elevates us like friends. That's one of the benefits of being a friend of Jesus Christ. And there's two real interesting aspects to this, to His friendship, that are worth talking about. The first thing, something we kind of sarcastically talked about with high school. You know, I have chosen you to be my friend. But with Christ, it's different. This first aspect, this friendship with Him, it's marked by His initiative. He's the one who starts it. He's the one who seeks you out. He's the one who calls you in to become friends in the first place. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. I have appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. He didn't choose you to just be a friend. He chose you to be set free from sin. He chose you to become His servant, to become His friend. He chose you to spend an eternity with Him. He chose you to be saved. That's pretty cool. Whoever you're next to, you say, that's pretty cool. That's what He chose you for, folks. That's good stuff. You get to spend an eternity with Him, and it begins with the work of Christ. It's His work. It's His calling of His elect. It is His irresistible grace. God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Peter writes about this. 1 Peter 1, talking about God's elect. God's elect who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Like the Old Testament sacrifices, you're sprinkled with the atoning blood of the sacrifice. We are sprinkled with the blood of Christ and justified before God. Christ chose you. And again, that is so humbling to think about. And that's first and foremost what we mark and what we cherish is His initiative in our friendship. And here's the second thing. It's marked by intimacy with Him, real friendship. Not superficial, real friendship. Look at verse 15 here again. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Jesus calls us what? Can't say that enough. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from the Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you. Brothers and sisters, when you are saved, you become the servant of Jesus Christ. And your Bible translation might say that you become a slave of Christ. But because He desires, He wants this intimate, agape level, deep relationship, this friendship with you, because He wants that so badly, He lifts you up to equal status with Him as a friend. He treats you equally as a friend. Try to get that through your head. Are we equal with Jesus? No. Big fat no. Everybody say that. Big fat no. We're not equal with Jesus. But he treats us that way. He's always going to be Lord. We're always going to be his servants. But because of his love for us, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Because of his love for us, he now loves us. He treats us. He opens up to us. And he relates to us as friends. And again, that's pretty cool. True servants, real slaves, real servants, they get told what to do. And they don't always know why. But they will comply out of fear of punishment. But that's not how it is with friends. Friends are close confidants. There's nothing hidden from them. They're allowed to enter the presence of the master. They can draw near. They can speak freely. They can understand that the master's will, the obedience that the master asks of his servants, that obedience is intended for the slave's benefit. It is for their growth, their holiness, their sanctification. And brothers and sisters, we might be the slaves to Christ, but he has lifted us up to become the slaves that have an intimate knowledge and intimate relationship, this intimate love with him, the same love that is shared between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We get that with him now. And again, that's pretty cool. How many times have I said that today? Everybody say that. It's pretty cool. What a benefit of being a friend of Christ. Amen. How deep is that love? You know, how strong is that love? Verse 13 again. Almost all of you familiar with this verse. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And he did that. Jesus Christ set aside his throne, and he entered a life of suffering, and he took your place on that cross. And he took the punishment for your sins on that cross. He did that for me too. Thank you, Jesus. He did all of that willingly because he loves us as friends. And folks, that is so humbling to me. That's what real friendship looks like. So academically, you can read through this a little bit later today, hopefully through this week. Here's some things, the qualities that are represented by the love of Christ. We don't have time to get into all these today, but this is what that love really looks like. You can break it down by verse. That love is sacrificial, verse 13, as in Christ showed us what sacrifice looks like. He gave his life for us. And verse 14, that love is unified in purpose. And the purpose, the objective there is to have his people set apart, to be made holy. Individually, that's our own personal sanctification. Verse 15, love is familial, which means it's beyond the bro level kind of hugging and friendship. It's real family, brother to brother, sister to sister kind of love, elevated friendship from our status as slaves. And then verse 16 there, that love pursues a shared success. And that success is evidence in the fruits that are being produced for the kingdom of God. Take some time and read through these this week and meditate on these qualities of love that Jesus Christ is offering you, because that's the kind of love that we should be sharing with each other. That's the kind of love that we should try to reciprocate back to him. But back to where we are today. Again, this portion of scripture here, this talks about how we are to conduct ourselves in our relationships with fellow believers, just how we're supposed to treat others. And for the last several minutes now, we've been talking about what friendship with Jesus Christ, what that loving relationship with Jesus Christ, what that looks like. But folks, we've got to ask ourselves, how does that apply to ourselves and to other believers? What does that look like? Again, verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Pretty straightforward. This is my command, verse 17. Love each other. Pretty straightforward. Love each other the same way Jesus Christ has loved us. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is the one who initiated this friendship with us. He goes so far beyond the shallow, meaningless, superficial kind of friendship that we have in our world today. He shows us a love that points to just how deep it is displayed in his sacrifice on that cross. He did that for his friends. So the question is, how about you? Are you reaching out to your brothers and sisters? Are you making some sacrifices for them, for your friends? You don't have to get nailed to a cross for this. You don't have to make this big, sweeping, sacrificial gesture to have this Christ-like kind of friendship. That kind of friendship it's best seen in the little things. Day-to-day small gifts of love. Continual actions of grace. Constantly loving and forgiving each other. Small sacrifices that will lead to some huge big payoffs. Agape love type of friendship. Are you doing that? Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is master, but he has elevated us to this intimate friendship. And all that he's asking us to do is to treat others in the same way. And practically we do that by keeping his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. All the commands are wrapped up in the two greatest commands. The first and greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second one is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor the same way that Jesus Christ loves you. That's what being a friend is all about. Like that soldier on the battlefield, I knew you would never leave me. Let's remain faithful friends with Jesus Christ and with our fellow believers. That's what we want to do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for doing more than telling us what friendship looks like. Lord, you displayed it. You exemplified it in your sacrifice and your selflessness and the way that you pour out your love on others. And Lord, we are unable to meet your perfect standard, but Father, I just pray you give us the power of your Holy Spirit to give us these hearts that are sacrificial. That Lord, you give us eyes that see the needs and the wants of others above our own. And Father, I just pray that you give us the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may share with others. Lord, again, I know that we will fall short, but Father, through the power of your Spirit, you give us your strength, you give us your willingness and your ability to try. So Lord, help us to try as we reach out and we administer to our fellow brothers and sisters. Let us do that in a Christ-like way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pray today that the message spoke to you and that God filled your heart with love. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you do it now? Just pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and to come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Can I pray for you now? Father, for those that have spoken this prayer, have reached out sincerely from their hearts saying this for the first time, Father, would you watch over them? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you protect them? Would you break those chains of sin that have held them down for their whole lives? And God, I lift them up to you, and I ask that you bless them. I ask that you work in their lives. I ask, Father, that you use them for your will, as your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you share that with us? Reach out to us at yeastcommunitychurch@gmail.com. Or there's a link where you can send us a message at yeastcc.org. And I pray that you continue to grow in the faith. I pray that you continue to seek out the Lord and His guidance. And if you're local, we would love to have you come be part of our church family. And if you're watching this from another location, please seek out a church family that preaches from the Bible and that has the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the best way to help sustain you in your faith. Thank you for watching, and we hope to see you next week.